All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 6, and we're picking up our study. I do need a couple of helpers. Jake, can I have you and maybe a couple other people? You may have one of these from way back in 3 months ago, end of November. Everybody needs one. If you've got a pen or a pencil, it'll be there in front of you, but the teens will be handing those out to you. This is something that we began at the end, I believe it was end of November, and then I took a hiatus from it, and I appreciate Pastor the opportunity to speak every month. But I took a little break from it. Let me say, as well, as you're getting those pieces of paper, I wanted to, and I think I said something last month, but I wanted to just publicly thank so many of you that have stepped up, even in the last month and month and a half, to alleviate some ministry load and things like that that are waiting on me, and I appreciate you guys' help with that. There's so many in this church that do so much that I really appreciate, and I want you to know that it doesn't go unnoticed. A smile on a Sunday morning, speaking with a guest, something like that, that doesn't go unnoticed. That's extremely important, and we appreciate you. I appreciate you, and I know Pastor does as well. Let's go ahead, and if you find your place there in Galatians chapter 6, let's go ahead and read the passage first, and then we'll dive in. Some of this will be review to you, and some of this might be brand new to some of you. Galatians 6. And the scripture says in verse number 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Let's pray. Father, thanks for this opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for the encouragement of seeing other Christian institutions who are carrying forth your word. I pray that as the teens go to the wilds this summer, that it will be something that will be life-changing for each one of us, that your word, that your Spirit will take your word and change us into the image of your Son. I ask that as we look now into this passage, that you'll give us wisdom, that you'll help us to grasp the concepts that you're trying to teach. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time that we got to look into this passage, I started out the message by saying, if there was one message that I could preach to you, sometimes I like to do that with the kids. Like if we were to bring in Moses, what would be the sermon that Moses would give? And I strongly believe that the sermon that Moses would give would be in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where he said that I didn't obey God completely. I didn't get to go into the land, but you obey God. Or if we were to bring in Elijah, I wonder what sermon he would give to us. Or if we were to bring in Peter, I wonder what, if we were to bring in the Apostle Paul, maybe this is the sermon that he would bring to us today. And I know for me personally, this is something that if I could only speak to you on one topic, I would preach to you on this topic. It's not just for teens, although it is for young people. It's extremely important. But it's for all of us. And as you see at the top of your page there, it's about the laws of the harvest. Now, we covered a lot of this, so I'll kind of buzz through the first few points and hover for a few moments on the last before we finish up this evening. But the laws of the harvest. The first thing that I'd like you to do, and we did this a couple months ago, is to go ahead and write your name on that first blank. The laws of the harvest apply to, go and put your name there. Put your amazing initials. The laws of the harvest apply to me. The first thing that I see about the harvest, and this is something that we like to get away from, is that the harvest is not a respecter of persons. The laws of the harvest, the things that we're reading in Galatians 6, 7 through 9, is not for most people. It's not for the people that are a little bit slow at life and those of us who are more cunning and can work the system, can get around. It's for everyone. The laws of the harvest apply to Sam Stewart. They apply to you. They apply to every single person in this building. And if that's something that I could drive home into my own heart, into each of your hearts, that's why I want to start with that this evening. The laws of the harvest apply to, and put your name there. The first thing that we looked at, and we first talked about, gave some illustrations about people who felt like they were above the laws of the harvest. Gave an illustration about an actor who's found dead in his apartment. He said that I used to think that you could get a level of success where the laws of the universe didn't apply. Speaking of Chris Farley, he's an actor. A late actor. He said, but they do. It's still life on life's terms. Not on movie star terms. I still have to work at relationships. I still have to work on my weight and some of my other demons. Once I thought that if I just had enough in the bank, if I had enough fame, that it would be all right. But I'm a human being like everyone else. I'm not exempt. And sadly, his words proved to be prophetic. He did die of an overdose. He wasn't able to get that message, even though he believed it in his heart. But the harvest is not a respecter of persons. It does not matter who you are. These laws still apply to you, and they apply to me today. The first thing that we looked at is that we reap things we did not sow. We reap things we did not sow. Maybe you have this in your Bible still, and you still got this written down, and you're putting me in cruise control. That's okay. We'll go right through this quickly. We reap things that we did not sow. And we looked at the fact that there are things that are given to us. We give the illustration here, the American flag, and the freedom that we have that I personally didn't work for. I wasn't around in 1776. I didn't do anything to gain any of that freedom. And I'm benefiting from that. And we talked about how it's important for us to realize that. Parents, you're doing things in your life now, and you've done things in your life in the past that are causing your kids to reap things that they never sowed. And the same is true for you and your parents and your grandparents, and it goes on and on and on. And not only for parents, but your neighbors. Sometimes you reap things that your neighbors sow, right? They've got a dog that keeps coming over into your yard or whatever the case might be. But the people that we rub shoulders with, our family members, our friends, the decisions that they make. Pastor mentioned the illustration this morning about this man who was trying to get rid of his motorcycle and ended up doing it 2 weeks ahead of some of his buddies getting arrested. And he could have reaped for not, if he hadn't made that good decision, he might have reaped having a life in prison. What a great message that was this morning, wasn't it? About a fresh start. That was exciting. I enjoyed that. But we do reap things that we did not sow, things that we didn't give our labor to. Things that we didn't spend our time with. 1 Kings 11, God speaks to the prophet Ahijah, and he tells him what to say to Jeroboam. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee, but he," speaking of Rehoboam, "shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, and the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." Not because Rehoboam was a good king, but because of David's sake. Rehoboam may have been a good king and he did some good things. He made some bad decisions at the beginning, of course, we know that. But because of David's sake. And so we brought out the fact that you just might be that person in your family right now who is going to be the one who will have the influence on other people because of good decisions that you make. You may be able to see that reaped in your children and in your grandchildren for generations, perhaps, to the glory of God and for their benefit. So the first thing we saw is that we reap things that we did not sow. The second thing we saw was that we reap in kind. K-I-N-D. I'm kind to my neighbors, hopefully. We reap in kind. What does that mean? My choices have consequences. Notice in the scripture, back in Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse number 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And if you're like me, and maybe you've grown up in church, and you've heard this verse a million times, sometimes I try to take a step back and try to look at a verse a different way and try to look at it as if I'm seeing it for the first time. And we know that, yeah, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. Because we've heard that, and we see it here in Scripture. It makes sense. Unfortunately, that doesn't always translate over into our lives. And we wish... Sometimes we wish that we could sow to the flesh and still have everlasting life as well, still have all the benefits. Some describe it as wanting to have 1 foot over here in the world and 1 foot over here serving God and wanting to ride the fence. We know that never really works out very well, does it? The problem is we've got the first point. We've got ourselves deceived with the first point. We forget that the laws of the harvest apply to Sam Stewart. That's the problem. We forget that it actually applies to me. So we do reap in kind. We looked at a few different things. We said that Ralph Waldo Emerson made this comment. He said, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." And young people today, this is extremely important for you. And you're forming habits and decisions that you make that are going to carry you through the rest of your life. It's a lot harder to change when you're my age. I know I'm not even that old. But it's a lot easier to establish habits when you're younger. The problem is you usually think, "I've got my whole life. I've got so much time. I can serve God. I can do things right. I can make things right. I can do things later." And then life begins to slip away from you, and pretty soon you're old like me. And you're already 27. But seriously, you can't go back, right? You can't make those decisions again. You have now. And none of us know if tomorrow night we'll stand before God and give account for the things that we've done. We do not know. But believing that we don't reap in kind would be akin to defying Isaac Newton's third law of motion. I think that I made a fool out of myself last week, and I'm trying to do it again, but I was pretending to run through the pulpit and pretend like if I could run, but I can't. Obviously, I run into the pulpit. But that's how foolish we are when we think that I can sow this way, I can sow to the flesh, and I can still get God's blessings on my life. I can still get God's benefits if I'm sowing to the flesh and nobody else knows it. Then everything will work out for me. I don't know how we try to figure that out, but sometimes we do. Solomon used these arguments in his writings. Proverbs 26, at the end of Proverbs 6, he says this. Ask these questions. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? He goes on. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Well, it's a rhetorical question, right? No, obviously not. But he talks about a man making a foolish decision and saying that he can't make that decision and expect for there not to be consequences. In the same way for us today, we can't expect to sow to the flesh and reap spiritual blessings in our lives. The example of David, he had specific things in his life that we'll look at in just a moment. We'll go ahead and push him back for just a second. We'll have David wait for a moment. All right, let's go ahead and move into the third one. We reap, and this is the last one we ended with last time, we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We covered this as well, and we finished up with this one. We reap more than we sow. We said, I can choose my actions, and all of us can. I can choose how I react to life. All of us can. We can't choose what life does to us, but we can choose how we react. And I can choose my actions, not my consequences. I cannot choose the things that God will bring into my life because of the actions that I have made. We reap more than we sow. Proverbs 22:8 says this, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. In other words, I'm sowing some sin and reap utter emptiness. Hosea 8:7 says, they have sown the wind, this is God speaking, and they shall reap the wind. No, he doesn't say that. He says they've sown the wind and they're going to reap the whirlwind. They are reaping more than they're sowing. Basically means a violent whirlwind. It's not sow wind, reap wind. It's sow wind, reap violent, destructive tornado in our vernacular today. Nathan had a message to David when David went through his little stint of disobedience and rebellion. He said to him in 2 Samuel, you killed Uriah? The sword will never depart from your house. That was the judgment. Man, that sounds a whole lot worse than one man dying. The second one, you took his wife, the judgment. Your wives will be taken before your eyes. You're gonna see what's going to happen. It's kind of a worse judgment, I think. You did this secretly. The judgment, it's going to be done before all Israel. You did this thing and you tried to kick it under the rug, but God's going to make this thing come back and everyone's going to know about it. It's going to be seen and it's going to be visible for everybody. The judgment is always greater than the sin because you always reap more than you sow. And then let's go to number four. Number four is we reap in proportion to our sowing. We reap in proportion to our sowing. What's proportion? Are we talking about math class here? How many of you liked fractions? Any of you liked fractions and proportions and great things like that? Good deal. I'm very far removed from that. I think I took my last math class as a junior. I was held back in life by not getting to take calculus or one of those fun things. But I remember proportions and those things. But we reap in proportion to our sowing. So wait a second. What was number three? I thought you said that we reap more than we sow. So how can we reconcile these two? And are they even, does this even work? Grab your Bibles and let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians for just a few moments. 2 Corinthians. This is normally a passage that's brought up during a stewardship month, and probably was referenced sometime in November for us here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I thought you said that we reap more than we sow. How does that work with we reap in proportion to our sowing? 2 Corinthians 6:9 says this. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 9:6. I apologize. 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It goes on to say, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. References to what Brother Hans was praying about before the offering. What is he talking about here? How can these both be true? What's the context of this proportional reaping here? Can anybody tell me in one word? What are we talking about here? Is this... Did I hear service? Okay. What's he talking? Tithing, giving. Yeah, service, giving. Giving our money, giving of our time, giving to God. And he says in that concept, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I wish I could stand in front of you like a TV evangelist and say, sow a seed of $10, you know. If you'll just purchase one of these cards, let me tell you something, you will get 10 free pizzas on your doorstep. Just touch the screen, you know, as we're in a towel. But, well, we know this, it's not teaching that, right? That's not exactly what it's teaching. People have made themselves wealthy on that kind of teaching, right? And people are still sucked into that today. But it is saying both are true at the same time. This principle, though, in no way affects the fact that we also reap more than we sow. Both laws have to do with quantity or amount. However, the previous law, the law of we reap more than we sow, was God's part. This law has to do with our part. God's part is that whatever seed is sown is multiplied manyfold. Our part is that we need to sow all the good that we can. Remember the guy who said there's a lion in the streets? He said in the book of Proverbs, he said he's not going to go out and plant because of the snow or because of the lion, whatever the case was. What did the writer of Proverbs say? He's not going to eat any food and harvest because he didn't get out and he didn't sow seeds. So this is our part. Reap in proportion to our sowing. And along with this, it has an idea of giving. It has an idea of giving to God's work, but reaping in proportion to our sowing. What if you never sow a seed? What if you never planted the three corn seeds? Remember I was talking about three corn seeds and you looked at me like I had no idea what I was talking about. I don't think corn was a big thing down here. But where I was from, up in Minnesota, we planted a lot of corn for some strange reason. It wasn't a long growing season at all, and it didn't. But a lot of people had corn. I guess maybe it's because it was so flat up in the Midwest. But you planted three seeds, and one of them was going to grow. But what if you never planted the three seeds? And you walked out there, and you're like, oh, man, looks like it's going to be sparse. Watered it a little, kept waiting, right? You wouldn't ever have anything grow. So the point of number four is that, what if you never sow anything at all? What if you're like the guy who got the one talent, hid it in a napkin, and when Jesus, the Lord, came back, when he came back, you said, here's the one that you gave me. I haven't lost it. And what was Jesus' remark to that servant? He took it away from him, gave it to the one who had used the talents that God had given to him, that had spent time, that had sowed this important seeds in his life. Let's go to number five. Number five is we reap after we sow. We reap after we sow. So not only we reap things we did not sow, number one. Number two, we reap in kind. Number three, we reap more than we sow. Four, we reap in proportion to our sowing. And then number five, we reap after. We reap after we sow. We reap in a different season. So when do we normally sow seeds? What season of the year? Spring. What if I were to go out and I would love to plant some seeds this year? How many of you have gardens? Any of you have gardens? Okay. A few of you do. I know Mr. Pete has a huge produce machine. But I would love to plant some seeds this year, come spring, right? But in order to go ahead and see fruit from them, could I go out there in, let's see, Malaysia, what do you think? Could I go out there in, let's say I plant the seeds in June, or let's say March, maybe. March, plant the seeds, like March 31st. Is there a chance that I could go out there on April 1st and pick some corn? No. And why not? Because it's not ready yet, right? Okay, so I planted at the end of March. Does March have 31 days? 30 days has September, April, June, and November. March has 31. So if I did go on March 31, what if I went out April 12th? Could I get some fruit then? What about April 22nd? What about the end of April, the very last day of April, a whole month? And yet in our lives, we make changes in our lives. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm giving to God. I'm giving my time. I'm doing my devotion. I'm doing the things that I should do. And God doesn't bless me immediately. And so what do? We become discouraged. Forget it. Why am I doing this anyway? And we forget the laws of the harvest. You don't reap in the same season that you sow the seeds. Now, certain times, God blesses us immediately and will reward obedience. And he always rewards obedience. The problem is, it's not always when we want him to. We usually want to make the changes in our lives and do the things that we should do. And then tomorrow, because there's a crisis in our lives, tomorrow we want things all to be better because of the things that we changed. And we forget that there is a different season when you reap. That you have to sow in the spring. And you have to reap when? August maybe, September, but not April. You have to reap later on in life. So the fourth principle is we reap, or the fifth principle is we reap after we sow. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it, not immediately, but for thou shalt find it after many days." And I'm afraid that most of us don't have the patience that it takes to be a true farmer when it comes to spiritual things in our lives. We'd like to see those benefits right away. And the same holds true for negative choices and negative consequences that we make, right? We do something against God's word. We do disobey our parents, okay? Or we take something from the store, steal something. And nothing bad happens. And we go a week, and nothing bad happens still, right? Cheat on our taxes, we go a year. Nothing bad happens still, okay? And so what do we say in our hearts? I got away with it. I didn't reap. I pulled one over on God. I am smarter than the system. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because the judgment is not immediate, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Because the slap on the wrist doesn't come immediately, I think I can get away with it. And that's one of the biggest lies that we could ever believe. And if you're sitting here this evening and you're in some sin, there's some things, there's some decisions that you've been making, there's some things that you've been doing that you're like, no, I shouldn't be, but it really hasn't hurt me yet. This is a wake-up call for you. Because you don't reap in the same season that you sow, but you will reap. And remember, this isn't just for negative things. This goes for both ways. Hey, if you're doing things that you should be doing, if you're investing spiritual seeds, you're going to reap those as well. But not immediately. You're going to have to wait a little while. It will come. The harvest will come, though. We reap after we sow. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Too many believers are sowing wild oats, though, through the week, and then going to church on Sunday and praying for a crop failure. We'd like to have our own way. We'd like to sow what we want and reap the blessings of God in our lives. And the last thing, number six, is this, and it is the harvest is promised. The harvest is promised. Notice the language, if you find your place back in Ephesians chapter, or Galatians 6. This isn't a, well, I'm not really sure if I'm going to come over to your house today. I might or I might not. You know how your friend says that? You're like, oh, I just wish they would tell me. I have a lot of younger folks in this building who ask me to go play airsoft with them. How many of you know what airsoft is? Okay, it's like a tamer form of paintball, right? And they're always asking me, and what do I usually say? But I usually don't come right out and say no, right? No, sometimes I do. I say, well, when, you know, maybe. I'm putting them off a little bit, right? I'm not sure. I'm not promising to go, and that way if I don't go, hey, I'm not on the hook for it, right? I haven't given my word, and I'm promised. But the harvest is promised. It's something that you can't get away from, and God's given his word on it. Notice the language that he uses in verse number 7. Be not deceived. In other words, listen, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself, and we're good at that. God is not mocked. You can't put one over on God. God is not fooled. You can't deceive him. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. It's promised. The harvest is promised. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sowed this morning. You will reap what you sowed last week. You will reap what you sowed 5 years ago, if you haven't already. I will reap what I sow tomorrow. The choices that I make tonight will affect my life. The choices that I make tomorrow as I go to school, if I decide to cheat on my test, if I decide to listen to my teacher, if I decide to respect my parents, if I decide to obey, or if I don't, those all affect me. Those are part of the seeds that I will reap. The harvest is promised. Nothing stops the harvest. Confession and forgiveness in no way stops the harvest. Now, if you have sin in your life and you need to get that right, first, and you know the Lord is your Savior, 1 John 1:9 is there for you, and you can have forgiveness. But I can't promise that that changes the consequences. You can have God's help, and we can have God's help to deal with those consequences. But that doesn't change the fact that we will sow what we reap. The last blank is this: the past is unchangeable, the future lies before us. Control tomorrow by changing today. There's a story, control tomorrow by changing today. There's a story about a young boy. His father asked him to go out to the garden and plant the seeds he gave to him. The young boy didn't want to plant the seeds. Why? He wanted to play outside, right? That's what we all wanted to do when we were young kids. He was anxious to go play with his friends, and he thought of the work that lay ahead of him. He decided on a plan that would shorten his work time. And this is how we are. We're so good at deceiving ourselves and thinking that we've got it, we're around the system. He dug one large hole at the edge of the garden and poured all the seeds into that hole. One day, the boy's father called him to come out to the garden. The boy had forgotten all about the seeds that his father had asked him to plant until now. As he walked guiltily towards his father, he noticed his father was standing by an empty row. His father asked him if he had planted the seeds he had given him. He told his father he did. Next, the father showed him the empty row and then one spot where pitiful stalks of corn were trying to come up. It was clear to the boy and his father what had happened. The boy did not expect his disobedience to be discovered. He had forgotten the principles of reaping and sowing. And too often, you and I forget these same principles until we begin to reap the fruit of our actions. I hope that if you haven't begun to reap negative consequences because of sin in your life, that you'll get it taken care of now. And I hope that if you haven't begun to reap the consequences of spiritual seeds that you've sowed in your life, that you won't lose heart. I'll leave you with one final verse in it. We've already read it once. It's verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Don't quit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the principles that you give us in your word about a farmer who sows and reaps. May these remain in our memory. When we're tempted to make a decision that's against your word, may these come to our mind. When we're tempted to quit because of the hardships that we run across sometimes in our service for you, may we not forget that as well. And I pray that each one of us will keep these and take these with us as we go this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.